Okay, so this session is basically an overview of Windows Phone. Okay, so we're going to cover a bit of background about the platform. We're going to tell you where we're at as a platform in terms of devices, not numbers in market, but where we're at in terms of positioning against other platforms. We'll talk a bit about what's coming in Mango and beyond. And then we'll get into actually building a sample app. And no, I'll try not to scare people if you're not developers in the room. But I'll give you an overview about where the tools are at in terms of Visual Studio and the complementary design tool, which is Expression Blend. As this is now the first Windows Phone session, this is your roadmap to Windows Phone sessions through the rest of TechEd. So this afternoon, we've got a session on SharePoint, and then Jeff, who's down the front, is going to do a session on peeking at the source. I'd highly recommend that session. It gives you a deep dive into, I guess, the type of experience that you'd go through in terms of building a Windows Phone app. And then 6:30 this afternoon, we've got the Spotlight finalists. I'd highly recommend you get along to that session and nominate which of the finalists you'd like to win for this year's Spotlight competition. Thursday, we've got another set of presentations covering things like Marketplace, doing game development for the phone. One of many what's new in the phone sessions. So we've got, I think that what's new is the consumer experience session tomorrow afternoon. You're doing that one, aren't you?
Yeah, so that's going to be kind of about end user features, but also kind of like an enterprise focus as well. So kind of what's going on in that space.
And then we've got two other what's new ones. So we've got the application platform and the multitasking sessions, and Chris, who's down the front, is going to do those sessions along with Jake. And then Friday morning, I'm on as well, doing cross-platform development, Windows, Azure, unfortunately, there's another conflict there. Jeff's doing his performance-based session as well. So I highly recommend you get along to those if you want more of a deep dive on the phone. So I'll hand over to Dave to where we're at.
Okay, so in terms of where we've been, if you're in the developer keynote yesterday, you probably heard me mentioning that we pretty much started with Windows Phone last year in November, so the marketplace kicked off then, and the devices kind of went into market around about November last year. So pretty much starting from scratch, because obviously we had Windows Mobile before, but now we're on to Windows Phone, so pretty much starting from scratch, we've grown considerable market share, but really what the really exciting thing about all this is kind of what the analysts are saying, and a lot of that's to do with the platform being unique, the partnerships that we have in place, the capabilities of the operating system, all those types of things. So in terms of what the analysts are saying, in terms of what the general feedback we're getting, is that we see a really rosy future in terms of what's happening around Windows Phone 7 and Windows Phone. So that's just kind of what that is, just to give a bit of a flavor of what's going on there. In terms of applications, and again, from last November, we pretty much started with nothing in the marketplace. So in that time now, so basically 12 months, we've grown to over 30,000 applications up on the marketplace. And that was a range of a whole general purpose applications out there, plus a whole range of games, because obviously gaming is very important on the platform. So really, in that amount of time, we really have grown very quickly. We're growing at something like 100 apps per day going up into the marketplace. So that's really in terms of just the overall pipeline of apps going in there. So that's fantastic. So in terms of what that means for developers, for you folk, obviously, there's still a lot of scope in there, but obviously for consumers want the core apps. They want to know that they can get onto Foursquare or Facebook and all those kinds of things, and there's training apps, and there's lifestyle apps, and there's banking apps. So, for example, the Commonwealth Bank is now up and live. We've got St. George up and live on the platform as well. So those kind of key apps are for the Australian market. They are clicking into place. Obviously, there's more work to be done, but there's great opportunity out there. And obviously, from a consumer perspective, they want to have, that the platform's got a future and things like that. So really encourage you to get on board and start developing on that. All the tools are free. If you register on that link, I will send you a marketplace token for free registration as well. In terms of general feedback, so this was a survey done probably about 6 months ago now. But again, it's pretty rosy. And I guess you're at a Microsoft gig, so we're not going to tell you it's crap. But the feedback we're getting is absolutely stunning. So in terms of recommendation, from out there, so we're getting recommendation on 90%. We're getting 66% people are satisfied with the new platform. And again, when we get to the Windows Phone Mango, you're going to see more features coming in there that end users have been wanting and us as developers we've been wanting as well. So we're getting great feedback on the platform. So if you've got devices here, in general, what I hear is people are really excited about. A fresh new approach.
So actually, just on that, I mean, one of the pieces of sort of anecdotal evidence that I see in the market around that is the fact that Brandon Watson from the phone team actually put a challenge out there to the creator of Dilbert, and basically said, "Here's a, I'll give you a phone, and you you come back to me and say what you think about it. And if you rate, if you don't rate it higher than the iPhone or Android, I'll donate $1,000 to a charity of your choice." And he actually came back and said it was the best platform out of the three of them. So that's just a little bit of anecdotal evidence to support the fact that this is a great platform and it's definitely worth going forward with.
I suspect we still gave the $1,000, but anyway. So in terms of the I guess in terms of the approach, it's different from what we're doing, from what our competitors are doing as well, is partnerships are absolutely key with Microsoft and what we're doing around Windows Phone. So in the Australian market, we've obviously got HTC, we've got LG, we've got Samsung, pretty well established in that marketplace. And it's very much, we want to be able to give end users choice about different form factors or different different keyboards or technologies for driving screens and things like that. So we're giving consumers choice, but as a software developer and end user experience, it is the same phone. So even though it comes from multiple manufacturers, it is the same phone. And when you're building that, building an application, you are targeting Windows Phone. So you don't have to worry it's an LG Windows Phone or Nokia Windows Phone or Samsung, etc. As a developer, we make it very simple. So we're giving consumers choice, but we're giving you focused developers a consistent platform to go out there and target. Now, the other thing that's absolutely happening, which is really exciting, is the partnership, the alliance with Nokia. So they got kicked off in February last year, or February this year. And the really exciting thing about that is it's really bringing together the skills and competencies of both organizations. So Nokia obviously have great capabilities in building really first-class phones. It's a really well-known brand, great worldwide distribution. Obviously, around the Microsoft assets, we've got the operating system, and we've got a great set of developer tools available to you as free of charge. So we've got Jem over here. So Jem is the Nokia, the local Nokia guy.
Hi, guys. So,
It's great. So Jem is over here. He's on the Nokia stand. Now, at the moment, he's limited to what you can tell you, but do connect with the Nokia guys because the analysts in the market are saying the whole relationship between Microsoft and Nokia is what's really going to kickstart the Windows Phone environment. So you're going to see things coming out from us and from Nokia to really get behind Windows Phone and really make it drive that whole success and drive that whole ecosystem. So, as I said, connect with the Nokia guys.
Yeah. I started working with my Microsoft counterparts a couple of months ago. And it's great collaboration. And we both, Nokia and Microsoft, acknowledges it's, you know, developers. But also in Australian market, we acknowledge that it's a different market that we must take the brands and agencies on board as well. So with my counterparts, we will be having workshop meetings to that audience as well. And in the end of the day, we want to create networks like you as an army creating applications for Windows Phone, and we also supporting you to create that base and create that demand. So, but other than that, I'm at Nokia stand downstairs. In the end of the session, I'll be there with my scanner. So, if you wanna give me your leads, and I can just keep you up to date about our joint trainings, leads, and upcoming incentives and competitions.
Fantastic! Thanks. Thank you very much. So as I said before, it's really key, and the market really does see this as a really exciting opportunity in terms of driving some real innovation into the market. Now, as I had up on the first slide, if you are doing software development and you are interested in Windows Phone, then please sign up here. We're in a slightly odd situation. It's actually very difficult for me to reach out to you folk and tell you what's happening because of privacy law. So basically, this is asking you to say, I can contact you. And I won't spam you. It's going to be like kind of like once a month. It'll be about training events. So, for example, on September the 24th and 25th, if you're based in Sydney, we'll be running a workshop. And this is basically the first part I've announced it, actually. So I will tell you about that workshop via that message. So you want to get on board there. There'll be training things there happening. So please get in there. Please opt in. And I promise I won't spam you, and it is a way in which I can communicate. So, for example, we'll be doing offers, we'll be announcing competitions. Often people want to get featured. So if you want to get featured on the marketplace, that's worth a lot in terms of getting lots of eyeballs onto your applications. If you tell me, hey, Dave, look, and next month I think I've got my application ready, then you can get in contact with me, and I will do my level best to help you get featured. It's things like that I can help you with. But if I can't reach out to you and you can't reach back to me, then that stuff can never happen. So do connect on that website. So it's is.gd, and it's Windows Phone Tech Ad, and that's case sensitive, by the way, or grab that code. But please do help me to work with you.
The other point there is, the process of signing up for Marketplace, which you'll need in terms of unlocking your device and submitting apps for certification, actually there's a fee associated with that, and one of the things you'll get as part of scanning and signing up for this process is a free token, okay? And that will mean that you can sign up to Marketplace with zero upfront cost.
Yeah.
For the first year.
We're no different from anybody else.
Okay, so just talking about Marketplace, one of the things we've seen in the last month is the whole Marketplace has gone through a bit of a revamp. Firstly, the portal where you as a developer go to upload your application and go through that certification process had a major facelift. It now looks pretty good. It's much easier to find things and navigate through the whole life cycle of your application. The other thing is that coming in Mango, we've got much better search within the Marketplace application actually on the device and within the Zune experience on the desktop. Okay. There's a couple of new things coming in the Marketplace space. First of all is a beta distribution service. So this is the ability for you to go, okay, my app's ready to go out, I think. I want to push it out there to a number of users who have agreed to do some testing for me. But it's not ready, and I don't think it's ready to go out to the general public. I don't want to use the public as a testing base for my application. So this service will basically allow you to push it out there to a list of known live IDs, and they have to be the live ID that signs into to the phone. Okay, there is no testing as part of this, so your application could be half-baked, and you could still push it out to those people. But there are some constraints on there, things like there's... it's only valid for 90 days. There is checks to make sure that you can only push it out to those devices that are using those live IDs. And there's no updates for those. So the user will have to uninstall it and then install the Marketplace version of the application at the end of the test period. But it does provide you a very quick way of getting your application out to a number of users for testing. The other scenario that people want to know about is enterprise deployment. Okay, and but people have different interpretations of what they mean by that. One scenario is I've got an application that's only relevant to my organization. I don't want it to be publicly available within Marketplace. Okay, this targeted distribution service allows you to do that. It basically allows you to go through the same certification process, so you go through the same level of testing by Microsoft. But at the end of the day, you don't publish to Marketplace. Well, you do, but it's hidden. Okay, so it's not. If I go into Zune and do a search, your application won't come up. What you get is basically a deep link to that application that you can then circulate to the people within your organization so they can install the application. Okay. Okay, there's a bit of an elephant in the room, and it's the numbering around Windows Phone. Now, the only reason I'm covering this is so that you're aware of it, so that when you see Windows Phone 7.5 and you see Windows Phone OS 7.1, you know the difference between the two. Okay. In most cases, you just refer to the platform as Windows Phone. Okay, the actual platform version is Windows Phone 7.5. Okay, to increment up from 7. Okay, when you look at the dev tools and you look at the core OS platform, it's Windows Phone OS 7.1. Okay, so that's the distinction. It's a bit like Windows 7 runs on Windows 6.1 or Windows OS 6.1. Okay, so that's the distinction there. You've got the core operating system, which is 7.1, platform 7.5.
So just, I don't know, I wasn't quite paying attention, but also if you see something referred to as I know I shouldn't admit that, should I? But you'll also see it obviously referred to as Windows Phone Mango. So I don't think you said that, did you?
I didn't, no, sorry.
So today you will see it referred to as Windows Phone Mango, so you're thinking, but hang on, I've just been told it's 7.5 and 7.1. 7.5 is the consumer name that we'll go out to market with, 7.1 is a developer name, and Mango is the project name. It's all the same.
I think
only at Microsoft.
How many people have we successfully managed to confuse with all of that?
Yeah. Yes. Alrighty. So the other thing that you wanted to just include is just some of the stuff. So this is basically now kind of what's new in Windows Phone Mango, Windows 7.5 or 7.1. So the first thing we're going to touch upon is some of the new technologies behind that. And we're just going to talk through some of the developer features. So one of the main things we've done behind... Windows Phone 7.5 is the introduction of HTML5 support on there, and it is first-class support, and we also have great hardware acceleration. So it's effectively the code base that we have for IE9 on the desktop. So if you think about the performance engine and that, the performance for rendering graphics and script and things like that, it's very, very fast. And it's also extremely standards-based, and you'll find you can have a great HTML experience on the device. So just to give you an example, If I just switch across screens. How many people have seen the fish demo, the fish tank demo? So, yeah, okay. So, as you'd expect, there is the fish tank demo for Windows Phone Mango as well. And just to give you a bit of a flavor here, it'll tell you what the frames per second are. So it's going at around about 22 frames per second. So if you're doing it on the desktop with that number of fish, you probably get, it depends on your hardware graphics. But walk away knowing that the HTML5 implementation on there is absolutely first class in terms of overall performance. That's the kind of the key thing to go away and know that you can go and build sites and that'll render well. And there was a user agent string of things like that sitting behind that. So just keep that in mind, that there's great HTML5 support now on the platform. The next thing I want to talk about is some of the things that we've added into the platform since the version 1. So these were a lot of developer requests. We also knew we needed to do them, but a lot of it was just around timing. So one of the number one requests was, what could we do around providing greater multitasking support? So today, applications, third-party applications, applications that you build today, when they go into the background, they effectively get thrown out of memory. You have to save their state, and when they come back in, you have to rehydrate their state. So it's kind of the mechanism. So we wanted a way in which we could give our software developers more multitasking capability without completely trashing the battery life of the phone. So I define it as controlled multitasking. So we have this thing called fast resume. So basically, applications today, they will get kicked out of memory. So now an application can be kind of put into a dormant state and be maintained in memory. And when you switch back to them, they'll come straight back. So we've got basically a very fast resume mechanism. We also have this concept of live agents. And live agents are effectively background tasks which have limited capability. So they have limited capability in terms of how long they can run for. They have limited capability in terms of the amount of memory and resources they can use. So the idea behind it is you get flexibility in terms of giving a lot more multitasking capability, but without the end user cursing you because you've completely flattened the battery. So that's basically where we want to get. There's a nice halfway house where you've got capabilities of background services running there. You can also do things like audio. So if you want to go and build streaming audio-based applications or radio applications and things like that, you can now stream those in real time, and even though the application will be in the background. So you can do a lot smarter things behind that. You've got hooks into things like the alarms and reminder systems there from a developer's perspective. And there's also the background transfer service. So if you want to start pulling down files in the background and things like that. So we really are in terms of creating an environment where, yes, as developers, we can give you more capability, but the end user is still going to have a good battery life and good performance on the device.
So integration with the core phone services is another big area for Mango. In the first iteration of the platform, we talked about integration between the platform and applications. My view is that we kind of did it. It was one of those things that we didn't really get a full feel for what we could do on the device. We basically had ability to have launchers and choosers, which allowed us to choose a camera image, a still image, not video, and definitely no streaming. Whereas now we've actually got ability to integrate directly into the camera pipeline. So we can actually have augmented reality scenarios there, and we can couple that with the sensor array. So we've now got access to things like gyroscope, we've got a compass, we've got accelerometer. All of those are very nice, but we've actually got a spatial framework that sits over the top of them. And it basically means that we don't have to handle each of those different sensors and actually try and augment them into a single understanding of how the user's holding the device, where it's going, and how it's being used. The spatial framework gives us a good overview of that, so we've got a single mechanism that we can access all of that information. So those two things combined gives us the ability to do some of the augmented reality scenarios that you might be wanting to do within your application. The other areas of the platform, we've got ability to do low-level sockets now. We've got data support. We've got link to SQL. And then we've got better integration into things like contacts and calendar within the actual device itself. Lastly, there's a whole bunch of areas around the launchers and choosers where we've expanded just following the same path that we started off with the first version of the platform, but just extending it to provide a better integration within the core experience. If you look at some of the other services around the platform, we've now got better support for tiles. So one of the signature features of the platform is the ability to take your application and pin it to the start. Now, for those people who work with the platform, you're probably familiar with the fact that you can go into a contact and pin that to the start. You can go into Internet Explorer and pin certain pages to the start. We didn't have that in our third-party applications. With Mango, we now get that. We get the ability to have multiple tiles for any given application on the start. Not only do we get that, we actually get the backside of the tile as well. So if you actually set the background image or you set some text property on the backside, the platform periodically flips them over. So the user gets this engaging experience where you can actually have more information being presented on that start experience. And that is actually really one of the signature features of Windows Phone Platform, is the ability for apps to do that. So you can think of scenarios where you might want to pin, for example, a flight to the start screen and be able to drill straight from that into the actual flight part of the application. The nice thing about that is I don't have to go to the home experience of the application and then navigate to that flight, because we've now got deep linking from those tiles. And in fact, we get them from a toast notification as well. So if you get a toast notification, that can take you not only to an application, it can actually take you to a certain part within the application. And that's really, really powerful in terms of the scenarios that we can think of around the platform. The other area where we've got more integration with the platform is around the extras. Okay, so we've had in the past the ability to integrate into the music and video hub and into the photos. Okay, so the call out here is that this photos integration here has changed in Mango. Okay, so if you've got an application that already uses the photos extras, you will need to go through the process of changing over to use the new extensibility model. Okay, so that's one thing there. The other area which is really interesting is the integration into Bing Search. Okay, so there's some new search extras there that where we can actually integrate into the information that comes back from a device search. Okay, so when you go search button, Bing search, we can actually integrate our applications into that. There's also been a massive investment in terms of the tools. Okay, V1, we already have the best code editor on the planet. Visual Studio is hands down the best code editor across all of the development platforms for mobile. Okay, we've also got probably the best design tools in terms of Expression Blend. Those ones just got a whole bunch better with Mango. Okay, if you look at the emulation experience within Visual Studio and the emulator that comes with it, we've now got the ability to simulate accelerometer. We've got the ability to simulate location. We've got the ability to take a screenshot. Okay, all within those tools. Okay, the actual platform itself. Okay, we've got new templates to do multitasking and some of the background agents. Okay, we've got the ability to debug background agents. Obviously, that makes sense. Given that we're going to be writing them, we want to be able to debug them. We've got a solution, isolated storage explorer. So we've got the ability to take the isolated storage off the emulator, off the device, and actually have a look at what the content's been written to the file system. And that's done in a secured way. It's only available to unlocked or developer-unlocked phones. Okay, so there's no risk of third-party users using that to exploit your application. And lastly, and probably the most important thing, is we've actually got a profile. So we'd be able to do profiling of both execution path and also memory analysis as well. Okay. In terms of the core platform, we've got generational GC. Okay, so that's a big step up in terms of the performance for the garbage collector. We don't have to call gc.collect everywhere now. Okay, hopefully the generational garbage collector will be a little bit more performant and a little bit more optimized to keeping us under that 90 meg threshold for marketplace. We've got better support for doing native-level processing for a lot of vector stuff. So if you're an XNA developer and you're using the vector class, that's all hardware-accelerated now. So we get the benefits of hardware acceleration for that. Okay. The last thing here is the ingestion tool. Okay. We've actually got an integrated tool within Visual Studio to allow you to walk through some of the tests that are done by the marketplace team. One of the biggest bit of feedback we keep getting is that the marketplace process for certification of the application is too opaque. It's not easy enough to see what they're doing and why my application keeps failing. Okay. Using the ingestion tool, you can step through. There's a number of automated tests. There's a number of pointers that basically say, okay, well, you need application icons, you need start screen images, those types of things. And then there's actually a series of manual tests, and basically you can check the box once you've done those manual tests, and it's just a pointer to say, okay, you should check in the light theme, or you should check for, you know, to make sure that it's going to work in this region, those types of things. Okay, so that's a really important part to go through before you submit to Marketplace. There's no easy way for the Marketplace team to certify your app overnight. Okay, the reality is it's got to go through a bunch of automated tests and a bunch of manual tests to make sure that you comply to the requirements. Okay, there's no easy way for them to say, yes, every application is going to pass. Okay, so it's a time-consuming process. The benefits of that is that we do get, hopefully, higher quality applications in the marketplace. Okay, let's flip over some code. Well, not code so much as Visual Studio. And I'm going to show you a sample project. Okay, so we're going to go file new project. As you'd imagine. And I'm actually going to demonstrate the social viewer template. This is a template we built for sort of news aggregation applications, okay? So you can integrate Twitter, Facebook, blogs, all into the one application. And it gives you a bit of a primer on how to go about structuring or working through an application, okay? So for those people who don't want to spend too much time coding, there is actually a configuration file. You can basically configure it to use different feeds, and then you can go and publish that. And I know, how many apps did you publish? Like 60-odd?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll do TechEd AU demo, and we'll start using this template. But you can see here the list of templates that are available for working with things like background agents and those types of things. My word of wisdom is don't use any of the built-in templates for building your application. Go and have a look at them, work out how they do data binding, work out how they do background agents and how they structure them, but then always go back to the Windows Phone application and use that as your starting point, because you will write things your way and want to do things your way. So don't necessarily jump on the other templates and do it the Microsoft way or the way that's been prescribed by those templates. Okay? So I would always come back and do things your way. Okay, let's go with the social viewer template, which is my way. So you can jump on that one if you like. Okay, and the first thing I'm going to do is actually just run this up. So you can see firstly, actually one other thing I will point out here, most applications when you do file new project have a mainpage.xaml. And this is just an example of the way I do things, okay, as distinct from other people, is that I have a pages folder, and you'll see that I have a folder for each one of those pages. It means that I can have my page along with my view model associated with that all in the one folder. And that's just my way of organizing it, okay? So there's no reason why you can't play around with things like that yourself. Let's go and run this up. Okay, there's two windows here. The back window that you can see in the back is actually the console window. There's a registry setting that can enable that. And it's useful for decoding binding failures. So if you're using a lot of data binding and you want to diagnose those, it's particularly good for giving that. It's got a little bit more information than the output window. And you can do console.writeline, and it will write out to that as well for those people who are used to using console.writeline. So this is the sample application. We can see here this What's New feed is basically a Twitter feed that comes down. As we scroll across, we've got some images coming from Flickr, so that's one of the other feed. And we've got this ability to jump into these different areas of the application. Okay. The thing to note here is that this is using the one of the other sort of features of Windows Phone, which is the panoramic experience. Okay. So this is like an elongated display that the phone acts as a viewport port into. Okay. So as I scroll across, you'll see this sort of parallax effect. And this is common across the entire platform. Okay, so there's six core hubs or panoramas in the main platform, and this is just an example of how you can go and build your application to make use of that as well. One of the other sort of the emulator's stalling a little bit. Okay, one of the other signature sort of user experiences is the concept of the pivot. Okay. The way I like to think of the difference between the two is panoramas are really good for aggregating multiple data sorts into a summary view. The pivots are good when you've got a data source and you want to filter it or you want to break it up into different parts. Okay, so here I'm basically showing all of the bits of news related to Windows Phone from core people like Brandon, and I've split it across by the different authors of those. Another example might be the domain.com.au app, which basically takes a property search and sorts it by different criteria. So it might be listing date, it might be price, it might be the suburb, for example. So it's basically taking the same set of data and just filtering it or partitioning it in different ways. Okay, that's enough of the app. Let's actually flip back. And where are we? Just want to quickly talk about the navigation flow. Now, most mobile platforms have their own navigation model. Windows Phone is no different. It has a pre-described navigation model, which is as you click on content or you click on a button, you'll go through from one page to another page. Now, the nice thing about Windows Phone is it's also got a discrete mechanism for going backwards, which is the hardware back key. Okay, so you click the hardware back key, and you'll go back from page 2 to page 1. Okay, and when you press it again, you go back from page 1 to the previous application. So you've got this concept of basically a two-dimensional backstack. You've got a backstack in terms of the applications that you've loaded, so app 1, app 2, app 3. And then within an application, you've got the stack of pages that you've opened within there. So you'll go app 1, app 2, or 3, page 1, 2, 3. And then as you go back with the hardware back button, you'll go back progressively through first the pages of that app and then through the applications that you've had open. Okay. With Mango, we've now got the ability to do fast task switching. So I might go app 1, app 2, app 3. If I hold and press and hold the back button, I can actually, it will pull up a switcher that allows me to jump straight back from app 3 to app 1 again, okay, without having to go manually through that back stack. So we've got the ability to navigate much quicker through the platform. Dave touched on this a little bit before, and I'm sure that I think Chris will go through this in the multitasking session in more detail. The application lifecycle runs a little bit like this. Hopefully it's big enough for people to see at the back. We go from not running to running. Okay, so we get a series of events. So we get a launching event at the application level to indicate that we're launching. Okay, once we're in that running state, if the user presses the start button and goes off to another application, our application will go into the background. Now, pre-Mango, in most cases, that meant that the application was still in the back stack, but it would actually be removed out of memory, so it would be terminated. With Mango, with fast task switching, that can still happen, but it will only happen when the platform runs out of resources or RAM for your applications to run. So, for example, if you then launch Internet Explorer, which is very memory hungry, chances are the fifth or sixth app that you had open will actually get suspended and put to disk. Okay. So this is that eligible. This is the sort of dormant state. There is the potential for you to be tombstoned. So that's what happens when you get removed out of memory. You're still in the back stack, so the user can still go back. If the user does do that and you're in this tombstone state, the application will be re-executed and they'll be taken directly to the page that you were at previously, okay, or the user was at already. Okay, so that's the concept of coming back or being activated out of tombstone. Okay. I'll leave the rest for Chris to go into more detail. It is a very important topic that you do need to understand in order to get passed through MicroProject certification. Okay. Once you get a grip on it, it's not too difficult to continue handling the various events, though. Okay, the design experience. Okay, so this is what you've all been waiting for, I'm sure. Rather than me handcrafting XAML, I'm going to open up Expression Blend. How many people actually have opened Expression Blend before? Okay. If you're doing designer work in Visual Studio using the layout tool, I would highly recommend moving across to Expression Blend. Okay, it's a much, much nicer design experience, and you can actually pass it off to your design people, and they'll actually love you for it. The designer experience in Visual Studio leaves just a little bit to be desired. Okay, so there's not a huge amount of space on this screen because we're running on a funky resolution here. But what I'll show... Okay, so this is the same application we just created. Okay, and we've got a design experience that we can now work with. Okay, one of the important things and one of the hardest things to do actually when building an application is making sure that you preserve this design experience, because it's very easy to write a couple of lines of code and all of a sudden your design experience is broken. Okay, the reason why you'd want to do that is because if you're moving things around a pixel at a time, it's much easier to do it in the design experience than having to move it a pixel in code, press F5 and run it, and then go, oh, well, actually I moved it one pixel the wrong direction. Okay, it's much easier to actually have a design experience where you actually do that and you can actually see it at design time. So what I'm going to do is actually add in another panorama item into our panorama. So this is actually the assets window. You can't actually see it there, panorama. And I'm going to drag on a panorama item into our panorama, hopefully. There we go. Okay, and I'll actually make that the first item in the panorama. Okay, and you can see it comes down with a grid and a title. So I'll come in and just change the title on there. So this is going to be our captures. So what we're going to do, for those people who have been following my tweets, what I've been doing is walking around TechEd capturing various photos from it. And those are going up to an OData feed in the cloud. And what we're going to do here is present that OData feed here as an image and the comments associated with them. Okay. Well, I don't have any of that data available to me in the design experience yet. So I'm going to come across here to the data tab and I'm going to go add new sample data. Okay, I could change the name, but I'll leave it for the time being. I'm going to change the name of this collector into captures. And I'll change this property to capture blob URL because I know that that's what the end property is going to be called. And I'm going to change this to being an image. Okay, so bear in mind I'm changing the types of sample data that we're going to be working with. And this one here is going to be a comment. And again, I'm going to change this one from being a boolean to being a string. Okay, I can actually take a look at that. Okay, so you can see that there's a whole bunch of sample images and a whole bunch of sample comments along with those. The nice thing now, though, is I can actually go, okay, I'm going to drag that straight onto my grid, and it's actually going to give me a design experience for that. Okay, so you can see that it's actually dropped the list box on there. It said, okay, well, you've got a collection of items. I'm going to try and do the most logical thing I know how to do, which is create a list box. You can change the different controls yourself manually if you want. The other thing it's done for me here is actually just styled it and given me a template for each item. So it's realized that there's two properties on there. There's an image and a comment thing. So it's going to give me an image control and a text block control. Okay, let me just really auto-size this to fill, and I'll briefly just change the templates just slightly. So at the moment, it's doing a vertical stack panel. I'm just going to change that slightly to use a horizontal one. Okay, so I'll come down here to the designer properties, change that to horizontal, and now all of a sudden, and notice how convenient the design experience is. I can see that that's exactly what I want. Well, actually, it would be if I move things across slightly. So let me just move the text block and put some spacing in there just to give it a little bit of space and let it breathe. And I'll do the same with the stack panel so they're not pressed up against each other. And notice as I'm typing into the design experience, it's updating on the fly. Now, one thing about this data source over here that I've put on here is that you'll notice that there's a checkbox here that says enable while running application. Well, actually, I don't want to run this while I'm running the application because I'm going to be going off to a third-party data source and actually pulling that data down. So what I can do is uncheck that, and that'll actually mean that I've still got a designer experience, like in Blend, but when I actually go to run the application, I won't have that sample data appearing with my application. That sounds pretty good. My design work here is done. Okay. Unfortunately, when you flip back to Visual Studio, because they run on the same data files, Visual Studio will prompt you and say, okay, I've got to reload some files for you, but that's okay. What we're going to do is actually drill down into my view model. And I did promise not to scare you with too much code, but I do need to write some code to wire this up. I'm actually going to show you one of the new things in Mango, which is the ability to connect directly to an OData data source. Okay, so I've already got the address there. I'll just show you quickly what that looks like in Internet Explorer. Okay, so it's an XML feed. Okay, and if I drill down into this set, it really wants to give me all of that. Okay, what we can see is that each of my entities or each of the items that have been uploaded into there comes down as an entity in the feed. Okay, so this is the list of captures, and because it's OData, it means I can actually start to filter it on various things that I want to do. Okay, so for example, this one is, you can't quite see that bar at the top there, but basically I'm filtering here by country because this is designed to work for both AU and New Zealand. I can filter by the tag, okay, so which track this is in, okay, or the image has been captured for, and I'm ordering it by the uploaded date. So all of those are URL commands. It's a pretty nasty way of having to go through and actually structure that URL because you've got to remember all the expressions and things like that. It would be much better if we had a code to do that. So let me just add it into Visual Studio and I'll show you exactly how we can just do that. Okay, so we'll call this TechEdData. Okay, now in my view model, now remember we called my sample data set, we changed the collection name to captures. Okay, so what we're going to do in our view model is actually copy a bit of code into here that actually is called captures, and this is going to expose my runtime data, okay, so the data that's going to come down from this service. So I'm actually just adding some using statements here, thanks to ReSharper. Let me just find that toolbox again. Okay, so this is the captures property that we're going to be data binding to. Okay, the other thing we're going to have to do is actually load the captures, and this is where the link magic for OData comes in. Okay, so we're essentially creating a new instance of the TechEd entities, and we do need to provide it that base URL, okay? And then what we're going to do is actually go through here, and we're actually going to specify some constraints, okay? This was obviously designed for New Zealand, which was last week. I'll change that to Australia, and we're looking for the tag Windows Phone, and we're going to specify an order by criteria. So we've got a nice declarative way of specifying what data we want to come back, okay? So hopefully, if the demo gods are with me, that's what I need to do to actually get this to run and actually show you some data. Lo and behold, we have some data. Okay, so the demo gods are obviously with me today. Okay, so that's just shows you how convenient it is or how easy it is to go out to an OData feed and actually consume that within our application. Okay, now that we've got SQL Compact on the device, we can then take that and persist it locally if we wanted to, using a very similar approach, because that's all supported through link to SQL as opposed to link to OData, which we just showed. Okay, the last thing I just want to show you is, we'll flip back to here. We'll come back to that in a minute. I'll actually show you just a little bit of a performance tweak that we can do with the actual image control to make it render just a little bit faster and prevent it blocking on the UI experience. Before we do that, I just want to recap on some of the phone controls. So I talked about the panorama and the pivot control being two of the premier controls for Windows Phone that actually ship with the SDK. The other one is the map control. So if you're doing a lot of mapping data or working with location, highly recommend you use that control. The last thing is the Silverlight for Windows Phone toolkit. Okay, Jeff, who's down the front, is primarily responsible for that. And it has got a ton of controls. Now, the nice thing about these controls, as opposed to any of the other third-party controls, is that they're styled in the theme of the phone. Okay, so they're really designed to work and behave the same way as the core functionality of the phone. Okay, so you can jump in here, and the long list selector gives you the ability to do the jump list style thing. So if you go to the People Hub and actually look at the list of your contacts, they're sorted alphabetically with the letters as jump. So you can click on the letter, it opens the alphabet, and you can jump to various places there. Now, you don't have to do an alphabet one. That's just an example of those. But the long list selector is the key control for that. And there's some other examples of those controls down there, which are really useful to have in your toolkit. Okay, so I mentioned performance tuning. I will jump back into here, and I know Jeff's going to cover this in more detail in his performance tuning session, but what we're going to do is just run the performance analysis on this application. So you'll see here that we've got the ability to run execution and memory analysis on the application. And it's as simple as basically clicking the launch application button, which will then hopefully launch the application. So in the background, it's basically going and collecting data about the execution of your application. So we'll get to the point there. And I'll actually close the application, and it will automatically stop the performance analysis in the background. So it's collecting data now, and it's preparing it. And now this part can take a little bit of time if you run this for an extended period of time in the emulator, the actual analysis of there. But eventually you'll get back this graphical display to show you more information about what the performance analysis of your application running. So you can select a region in there, and then you can start to drill down into more detail around how to use where your application's suffering if you've got performance problems, and then obviously in the memory analysis you can drill into the memory usage. Now there is a constraint for Marketplace that you do need to be under the 90 meg threshold in memory, so that's a really important thing to do some analysis on. Obviously performance is critical as well. There's a 5 second startup time threshold for your application, and obviously this is all around trying to gear an application for good user experience. Okay. Now, I'll show you one very quick trick in our application. And so you remember that we automatically dragged on that data set in Expression Blend, and it created an image control for us. We're actually going to find that, and we're going to make one slight change to it. Okay, so this is the template for each one of those rows that appeared in that list. Okay. The one part I'm going to change is this image source here. So I'll copy that out for a second. And down here in my toolbox, we should have a bit of code that we can use in there. Background image. Grab it across there. Okay, so one of the problems with the image control is that it tends to do... it will go off and get the image asynchronously. So it will do that in the background. But when it comes back, the actual decoding of that gets done on the UI thread. So potentially if your image is quite large or you've got a lot of them, like we do in the list, that can actually slow down the user interaction on the application. So the option that we've specified here is create option, is to set the create for those images to be done in the background. So background creation will force the decoding of that image to be done on a background thread and then blitted to the screen when it's ready to go. Okay, so that's a major saving in terms of performance, particularly if you've got very long lists or you're presenting a lot of image data that's coming down from the web. All right, I'll pass to Dave to talk about Spotlight.
Oh, okay. So if you were in the keynote yesterday, you would have spotted me talking about Spotlight. So this evening at 6:30, please go along there. So there are four finalists of about 41 entrants into the competition. As I said yesterday, it's all about government and citizen interaction. So you saw those kind of apps they're working there. And apps you kind of get behind the guys and doing it, you're going to hear a lot more about the overall scenarios, the business scenarios behind them. And a couple of them are kind of like really interesting too in terms of a spin-off business that they got out of that as well. So they had kind of a really interesting story in there. So there's four entrants there. If you were there yesterday, you would have spotted Waste Not, Traffic Mate, and TransHub and Queens and Sydney. But that's tonight at 6:30. It's in your program guide. And so please do get along there. It should be quite a fun night as well in terms of some things happening. And I think that's pretty much the session. So thank you very much. So just to kind of reiterate over that, so we've got the developer tools just went release candidate last week. You can for Windows Mango, for Windows Phone Mango. So they went up there last week. It went up there with a Go Live license. Sorry, I'll stand out of the way. Went up there with a Go Live license. So you can now publish Mango-based applications up into the marketplace. The developer tools are free, all the things you've seen that Nick do showing there. The Social Viewer template, if you want a quick way of getting up and running, building applications, that was at socialviewer.coplex.com. So you can head up there as well.
And there's an update coming for Mango, because it's not up there yet. And the nice thing about that is it also provides some foundation work for doing integration into a lot of the social networks, and specifically some of the social networks that aren't part of Windows Phone Mango. So Windows Phone Mango will do Twitter and do Facebook, and you can actually publish and post things directly from the new APIs that are in there. The new Social Viewer will include Flickr and some of those other social networks that are not provided by the core platform. So,
cool. And about 20 of you requested tokens, so you should all have an email back from me now with a link off to get your token. It's for free marketplace registration, so please get on there. Keep in mind, the token will basically, once you register, the 1 year kicks off from that point on, so kind of get your ideas a bit more solid. Keep in mind that the actual registration process for marketplace has been simplified, but there are implications around tax and things like that, so if you want to better make money out of this, you need to make sure that you're registered and the US to say that you're actually not a US citizen, so don't get taxed. You need to go through those. On the form, on the link that I've sent you, you will see a link up there, which is Marketplace Tips and Tricks. Go up there, because on there we have an Aussie to US translator, which converts basically what you need to know from the bank information the US wants versus how that's presented in Australia. So it's all sitting up on that link that I've just sent you, folk, to get that. And as I said, if you're not necessarily wanting to go and build stuff at the moment, but please do sign up there, and that'll be the way in which I'll get to kind of reach out to you and tell you about events and competitions and promotions, etc., all those kind of good things. So with that,
well, we'll open the floor to questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got another 10 minutes or so happy to take questions from the floor. And no, this is not the SharePoint session. Sorry. Same OS for the tablets or not?
Well, we haven't really talked about that too much, but no, that's not the direction for the moment.
So stay tuned. Next week?
Yep.
2 weeks' time.
2 weeks' time.
So there'll be more announcements around the tablet and what's happening in that space for Microsoft and at Build.
Watch your space, not far away. Yeah, so the question was about advertising. So the advertising SDK, in terms of particularly Australian-based ads, working on that at the moment. So watch your space. Get yourself signed up there, and I promise I'll make sure that goes out in a newsletter or in an email out to you all.
So you can read into this what you like. The new Social Viewer template uses AdMob.
AdMob being the...
being the competitor.
Okay. but honestly, it's not far off. Yep, so we have absolute concrete plans for rolling that out. Yep.
Yep.
I thought for some of the dudes entering the spotlight competition, they're having a lot of trouble getting their apps passed through the marketplace with things like description text. And
yeah, yes. So my experience, up until about a month ago, I never had an app that took more than 2 to 3 days to go through the marketplace process. So firstly... they are definitely trying to be more transparent about what steps you need to go through to get through marketplace. They seem to have got a lot more stringent about what they're checking for. The other thing is that there is also a longer waiting time now, probably because they've opened it for Mango submissions now, which is again why it's taken the spotlight people a little bit longer than otherwise to get through the process. Look, it's a process that's continually evolving, and hopefully will become more transparent over time. Definitely, the marketplace tool that's part of the release candidate has a number of manual steps for people to follow through and make sure that they hit those things. It should do. Yeah. I mean, it still won't. Unfortunately, the guys from TransHub with their description text, that's unfortunately, that's not something that's easily detectable. I mean, I've seen other things fail for policy reasons, like not having a policy that was correctly worded. The unfortunate thing there is that Microsoft's not in a position where they can come out and say, this is exactly what you need to say, because then they'll be held liable for it. So unfortunately, they have to be fairly vague as to what they want out of that.
There is also a policy document, a guideline, which will tell you the things you need to put on there. Like the ones I always see people getting caught out is location services. You're using location services app and you haven't made it really obvious to the end user that I'm now going to, you know, take a snapshot as to where you are. So the things like that, there was definitely things around opting in to those levels of services. And that, to me, has been one of the really common ones. So it's all laid out in the policy document. But, yeah, there seem to be nuances in places. I agree. Yeah.
Do we know when the Bing Maps are going to get updated again for Australia?
So the question was Bing Maps. No, I'm sorry, I don't. Again, you just see that kind of stuff evolving over a period of time. Yeah, go for it.
What was the registry key change that you need to make for the
console? It's on my blog. So if you just go to builttorome.com and then go through the blog, and then just do a search for probably regex.
Are there any other questions? Alrighty. Well, as we had in this slide up the front, there are about nine sessions which are covering phone. So please make sure you get along to them. This was meant to be an overview session, so they will absolutely drill down into various parts of the technology. So please make sure you get along that. Download the tools and party on. If you haven't registered up there, do register. And look forward to some apps going to the marketplace. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.